So let's make sure we have the place. On Zayin Amud Beis, so we're going to count down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines.
Zayin Amud Beis, 6 lines.
6 lines down from the top. And it's going to start with Amar Rava. So as an introduction, let's just remember that the Mishnah says that if he shechted the karbon shelo lishmo, for example, he shechted an olo l'shem shlamim, so the karbon is still kosher. And even though it's not olo l'bayil l'shem chova, the karbon is kosher. And what's the impact, what's the significance of the fact that the karbon is kosher? It means that we go ahead and continue the avodah. So even though he partially messed up on the shechita, but nevertheless, we hope he'll do better with the Kabbal Saddam and Alokha Saddam, the Zrika Saddam. The Omar Rava, Ola Sheshchata Shalo Lishma. So he shechted this Ola Lashem Shlamim. Also Lizrog Dama Shalo Lishma. He's got to do better, he's got to correct himself. The Gemara mentions Zrika, but really it's all the Avodos. And what's the source, what's the basis for this statement of Rava? Iba Yisema Kra, Iba Yisema Svara. You can actually derive this from Svara, but first we'll take a stab at deriving it from a Yalfusa, from a Pasuk. Iba Yisema Kra, the Pasuk says in Parshas Ki Tetze, with regard to someone who takes upon himself a pledge, it says, Motzos Vasecha Tishmar, V'yasisa Kasher Nadarta Lashem Elokecha Nidava. So the paradox of this pasuk is that when the pasuk commands us, mandates us to live up to our pledges, it begins with Neder, which is called V'yasisa Kasher Nadarta, and then it continues by saying Nidava. Now we know that there's a fundamental difference between a neder and a nedava. In the case of a neder, a person takes upon himself to bring a karbon. He hasn't yet designated any specific karbon for that purpose. And the law is that with regard to a neder, once he goes ahead and he's magdish a certain behemoth, he specifies, singles out an animal for his neder, if he has to be very careful. And that animal is very precious to him, because if it gets lost, or for example, it dies, then he's going to have to replace it. That's called achrayus. So in the case of a neder, a person has achrayus. However, in the case of a nedava, when a person, without taking upon himself a pledge or a neder, he simply declares, harei zu karbon, he jumps over the first step and picks it up on the second step and designates a certain animal as a karbon, then he's not responsible, he doesn't have any achrayus. He never took a general neder that I will bring a karbon. He just said that this is a karbon. If this karbon gets lost, so, you know, it's unfortunate that he didn't fulfill his opportunity for a mitzvah in this nedava case, but on the other hand, he has no achrayus, he has no responsibility to replace it. So therefore, this pasuk in Parshas Ki Tetze is paradoxical. It begins with a neder, vasisa kasher nadarta, and then it continues with a nedava. So what? How do we reconcile, how do we integrate both a neder and a nedava when they're fundamentally two different types of karbanos? And the answer is that v'asisa kasher nadarta means that you have to make sure that you fulfill this neder. You took a neder and you said hare olai. You have absolute achrayus and a commitment to fulfill that neder. If the neder was fulfilled kasher nadarta, meaning if the kavanas hashchita, zrika, whatever it might be, was kasher nadarta, meaning for the sake of that karbon, so he was no there to bring an ola and it was brought as an Ola, then you are fulfilled your neder, you're off the hook. But if it hasn't been fulfilled the way you would know there, in other words, it wasn't kasher nadarta, instead the lishma was l'shem karban acher, instead of l'shem ola was l'shem shlamim, in that case, it's an adava. What does it mean it becomes an adava? It means that now you're going to have to replace the karban, because since the karban that you brought was not a complete fulfillment of your neder, insofar as it was shalol l'shmo, which means it's lo ol l'shem bailin l'shem chov, they didn't fulfill their neder. Well, what happens in the case of a neder if a person doesn't fulfill his neder? Again, the classical case when a person doesn't fulfill his neder is the animal gets lost or dies. Here's another case where a person did not fulfill his neder because the karban was brought shalol l'shmo, so now he has a chiv to replace it because lo ol bayil l'shem chov. Now, what's going to be the nature of the second karban? The second karban, when he's mafresh another behemah to take to replace the first one, it doesn't have the same status as the first karban, because the first karban was an obligatory karban, if you recall. He took upon himself an absolute commitment to bring that karban. The second karban is called a karban nedava. What does it mean, a nedava? Again, he's obligated to bring it, but it's called a nedava in the sense that it's going to be a nedava to fulfill his obligation. That's the paradox. So that's the first way of understanding Rava. Ibai say Mesvara, Rava could be understood without a pasuk, and that is Mishum Deshani Ba, since he made a mistake on the first let's say he did the Shechita Shalom Lishma, is therefore we're going to let him do the other Avodah, and the Zrika is going to be Shalom Lishma. This is what the Gemara calls in Shas, there's a very famous phrase for this that says, Ochal Shum Chosim V'Ochal Shum. He messed up on one round, so we're going to let him mess up again, and that's the Svar. In other words, again, since the Karban is kosher, all the Avodos are obligatory, and therefore the avoda that's obligatory has to be done properly. Kiddarish, Kiddarish Pirka, as we said at the beginning of our parak. So the last 2-3 lines of Agamar is just a reiteration of what we saw at Dabbeis at the beginning of the Masech. So now we're going to start something new. There's going to be a Machlokes Amoraim about Shinui Bailim Liachar Misa. So let's explain. We know that there are two kinds of shinuis. There's a shinui kodesh, where he doesn't bring it for the sake of the right karbon. And then the shinui bailim, where he doesn't bring it for the sake of the right person. Now, as long as Reuven, who's bringing his karbon, is still alive, clearly you can understand Shinui Bailim. In other words, instead of bringing this karban for the sake of Reuven, they brought it for the sake of Shimon. That's called Shinui Bailim. But that's because Reuven is alive, and the kapara of this karban is related to Reuven. So if the karban is brought on behalf of Shimon, such that Shimon should get the kapara, that's called Shinui Bailim. That passes the karban. However, what happens in the case where Reuven dies, and he can no longer achieve kapara? The karban cannot be brought on his behalf as a machaper. Who's going to bring the karban in such a case?
When does he die?
He died after he was mafresh the karban. So again, first he took a neder, then he designated the karban, and now he dies. The karban is going to have to be brought. Who's going to bring the karban in this case? The yarshim. Oh. However, those yarshim are in a strange position. On the one hand, for some reason, which we'll have to get into, they have an obligation to bring the karban of their father. But on the other hand, they don't really achieve the kapar of the karban, because the karban was designated for Reuven, not for Chanoch ben Reuven. So now, when Chanoch ben Reuven brings this karban to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen, instead of having a machshava l'shem Chanoch, he had a machshava for some other Yankel Beryl. That's called Shinui Bailim. So fundamentally, Shinui Bailim means that the Miskaper was, so to speak, undermined, because instead of having the Kavanah for the Miskaper, it was on behalf of someone else. But in this case, there really is no Miskaper, because Reuven, the Miskaper who designated the Karban, is gone. We're left with Chanoch ben Reuven, And presumably, again, that's going to be the sugi that we're studying, the kapara of this karbon is not related to Chanoch. So therefore there's no possibility of shinui bailim. Omar Rava, Rava says, Ola haba achar misa. If Reuven designated a carbon as a carbon ola and he died, now Chanoch ben Reuven is bringing this carbon ola. And shchata b'shinui kodesh, if, this is the first case, which is, this is undeniable, this is pashut, that if the carbon was brought not as an ola but for the sake of a shlamim, then psula. Psula means not that the carbon is possible, but that it's not ol l'shem bailim, which means that now the yarshim will have to replace that carbon. Again, we're not sure yet why yarshim in general are chayiv to bring a carbon on behalf of their father. However, says Rava, b'shini bailim, if the shechita was done in a shini bailim, in other words, it was l'shem ola, but not for the sake of Chanoch ben Reuven, but for the sake of Yankel Beryl, as we called him, k'shera. In other words, Rav is claiming that this karbon, since it doesn't have the kapara power on behalf of its bailim, the bailim have died already, Reuven is gone. Now you have Shimon, you have Chanoch, we call him, the son of Reuven, who's bringing the karbon, but Chanoch really doesn't own the karbon in the sense that the kapara is not related to him. And therefore, shini bailim is inapplicable, because by definition, says Rav, shini bailim means when you deflect the kapara from the bailim for whom the karbon was designated to bring a kapara for the sake of somebody else. And in this case, there is no person for whom the karbon is being brought to be miskaper as a bailim, because the bailim have gone, and now Chanoch ben Reuven, although he has some sort of, we'll call it a chovas gaver to bring the karbon, but he's not the miskaper. And therefore, there's no possibility, says Rav, of shinui bailim.
This presumably only applies for a chatas and an ola. It wouldn't apply for a shlomim.
Why not?
Because if once the shlomim is done for somebody else, the shuri of the yoshim don't have any.
Wait, what happened now? Reuven designated carbon shlomim. Then he died.
Correct.
Okay, now what happens?
Well, so do the yoshim altogether have to bring?
I would think. I mean, I don't see why shlomim should be different offhand. I don't know. Maybe you know something I don't know.
Okay.
What if Shina was the son?
So according to Rava, there is no shini bailim for the son, because the son is not the miskaper. And we're going to soon see that Rav Pinchas is going to argue against that. But Rav Hossein, let me take a step backwards for a moment and ask you the following question. Why does Chanoch, the son of Reuven, have any obligation whatsoever to bring the carbon? He didn't take a neder. He didn't designate this carbon as an adova. His father took the neder, so... Oh, wow, beautiful. You guys are so advanced. I didn't know this until I saw the footnote in Masifta. And he says the following. He says that there's a principle called Shibuda Doraisa, which means that when Reuven took this pledge to bring this carbon, there are two different dimensions to that pledge. One is a neder, and the other is what's called a Shibud, which means mamon, which means that the karbon is designated as a I would call it a heftz shel mamon, a monetary entity with its value for the sake of being brought on the mizbeach as a karbon. It's almost as if, again, don't quote me on this, the mizbeach owns that karbon, has a right to demand it.
If it were hekdesh, they'd be chayav to bring it to the mikdash.
Correct. It's almost as if
the ila and the
right. Hekdesh. Excellent. It's almost as if. Included, overshadowed, so to speak, but included in the Kedushas HaGuf LeMizbeach is also Kedushas Damim. There's sort of a resident Kedushas Damim. Again, this has to be understood. You know, for learning Kedushim, we're going to have to take this up under a separate cover. But just on a superficial level, just to get by our sugya, we're going to say that Shibud HaDoraisa means that when the Torah imposes a Chiyuv Karbon on a person, included in that Chiyuv Karbon is the fact that the behavior, once it's been designated, is now, so to speak, owned. It's leaned, L-I-E, and it's leaned to the Mizbeach. And therefore, when the son, Chanoch, inherits his father's karbon, he has to fulfill the lien of his father. So, for example, if Reuven has a piece of real estate and it's been leaned to his debt, his creditor. You know, he has a debt, an outstanding debt. That when Reuven dies, Chanoch ben Reuven is going to have to forfeit that piece of karka for the sake of his creditor because of the debt of his father. And that's because we can just simply cut out, we can circumvent Chanoch. We don't need Chanoch over here because of Shibud Dorais. However, Tosfos, back on Daf Dalet, I'll just be with you, raises the following question. What do we do according to the other Mandi Omer who holds Shibud Lav Dorais? And Tosfos wants to reconcile Asugya even with that Mandi Omer. And he says the following. A person was mafresh two behemos. And the reason he did so is because he felt that in case, an event that he loses the first behemo, he wants to have a fallback position, a default, to be able to bring a second behemo. And that was the tenai that he made. That if he could be makriv the first animal, fine. But if the first animal gets lost or dies, then the kiddush shall be chal on the second animal. Now what happened was, after he designated two animals, he died. Not the animal, but the person. Okay? So he says, in such a case, then what we're going to do is, we're going to bring, let me just read to you the language. He says, Vim te abed rishona otamus tiskadesh ashnia Vitikrav tachteha. She'im li'achar misasa nifsal arishona. Okay, let's say the following happened. The Reuven died after he was magdish two animals. They took the first animal, and lo and behold, there was a shinui kodesh. In other words, a machsheves shelo lishma. Now what happens is Reuven has not fulfilled his chiyuv through the first animal. It makes it like a case where he lost the first animal. Again, the first animal is alive and well. We can point to it, but since it was shalol l'shem olo, whatever the case may be, but rather l'shem shlamim, shini kodesh, therefore, this karbon would not in any way fulfill Reuven's obligation. Now what happens is we have the second animal. So the second animal steps forward, and we'll bring the second animal as a replacement for the first animal. And now, the Gemara wants to know what happens if, when the second animal is being brought by the Yarshim, again, not midin shibuda doraisa, but simply because the Hegdesh was such that if the first animal can't be chal, let the second animal be chal. So that's all part of the original designation of the animal. And that's what Tosfos claims would be the subject of Agamar. So let's just leave out Tosfos for the time being. Let's just go back to Rashi. And Rashi and the simple pshat now in Gemara is holding Shibud Doraisa. And again, let's review Rava. Rava says that if the Bailim died, you know, Reuven designated an animal and then he died, the son, Chanoch ben Reuven, has to bring the karbon. There's going to be a responsibility for that karbon to be kosher, to have a ritzui power to it, right? Ritzui, we said, is l'ol l'shem chova. And if it was b'shini kodesh, which means b'achsheves ol l'shem shlamim, so Rava says in that case, the yarshim, meaning Chanoch, will have to bring a second replacement karbon. However, says Rava, if the Shini was not a Shini Kodesh, but rather a Shini Bailim doesn't apply in this case, because when Chanoch brings the carbon is not designated for Chanoch's kapara. Chanoch has to bring the carbon bidin Shibud Doraisa, but not for his own personal kapara. And the essence of Shini Bailim is, as we said before, when we redirect, or misdirect, I would say, the kapara. But Pinchas Bereid Rav Ami Omar Yesh Bailim Liachar Misa. But Pinchas ben Rabbi Ami says, no, there is such a thing as Bailim Liachar Misa, which means that when Chanoch brings the carbon, not just B'Torah Shibud Doraisa, but Chanoch becomes the Bala Karbon. I mean, the Yorish becomes the Miskaper. And if the Yorish becomes the Miskaper, then we're going to have a problem in a Shinui Bailim situation. Meaning, if the Karbon was brought now, not L'Shem Chanoch, but L'Shem Yaakov Beryl, then the Karbon is going to be possible. And now the Gemara doesn't understand exactly what Rav Pinchas had in mind. Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Pinchas, Brei Rav Ami, please clarify your position. Dafka ka Omar Mar? He spoke to him in third person. Says, "Did you really mean what you said literally? That Yesh Bailim Liachar Misa?" In other words, that Chanoch becomes the Bailim on the Korban insofar as he's a Yoresh. Uboili Suye Olachriti. And if there was a psul of Lashem Bailim, of Shinui Bailim, and the Korban was brought for the Kapora of Yaakov Beryl instead of Chanoch, then now it becomes Shinui Bailim. And the Yorshim will certainly have to replace this karma, because whenever the Shinui Bailim and a person is obligated to karma, he has to replace it with a second karma. Oh, Dilma, perhaps that's not, you didn't go that far, but rather de'iika kama ese gabe mechapre. You didn't mean that this would be a Shinui Bailim, but you meant to say the following, that if the Yorshim become the Bailim on the karma to the extent that if they have certain averos, now when we're talking about averos, we're talking about essay, because we're talking about here a carbon ola. So carbon ola, as we mentioned many times, is machapra and essin. So in event that Chanoch wants to bring this carbon for the sake of a kapara on his essim, he has a right to do so. And therefore, nishchar hakarbon lishman miskaprim bo al averos esei shebiyado. Had the kohen done the avoda properly, and his kavana would have been l'shem kaparas Chanoch, Chanoch would have achieved the kapara for esin shebiyado. But im lo nishchat lishmam, but if the karbon was not shechted on their behalf, then the Shinui Bailim would not force the hands of Chanoch to replace the carbon. Why? Because keep in mind that Chanoch never took upon himself a neder to bring this carbon. He would like Chanoch to gain a kapara from this carbon if possible, because he has a certain bag, a pekula of esim, a bittul esay in his back pocket. However, he's not the real miskaper. Why? Because once Reuven, who designated the carbon, is gone, then even according to a Pinchas, you agree that the main miskaper is no longer relevant. He's not on the scene. There's a fallback or a secondary possibility of kabbara on behalf of Chanoch ben Reuven, insofar as Chanoch wants the miskaper for what? For the Essen Shebiyodo. However, that doesn't make Chanoch into the Bala Karban. And therefore, if the Machsheva Sakoen was not on behalf of the Kapora of Chanoch, which Chanoch would have been very happy if that would have been the case, it would be Machaper for Essay, but rather the Machsheva was on behalf of Yaakov Beryl, in such a case, even Rav Pinchas would agree that Chanoch doesn't have to replace that Karban. It's kind of like the cherry on top of the ice cream, meaning that, you know, Chanoch would be thrilled, he would rejoice in the streets if he could gain that kapara, but he's not the miskaper, and therefore he doesn't have to bring a replacement karma. Omoleis Rav Pinchas clarified his statement, and he says, Dafka kamina. You're the first side in your suffix is correct, and I meant it literally, that there is Shinui Bailim Liachar Misa, that the Yoresh is considered a miskaper, and therefore, if there was a machshava, not for the sake of Chanoch, but for the sake of Yankel Beryl, then in such a case, Chanoch would have to replace the carbon with a different carbon. So now we have the final maskana. Rav is of the opinion that if this carbon after the Misa of Reuven was brought not on behalf of Chanoch but on behalf of somebody else, then Chanoch is off the hook. He never took a neder. He doesn't have to replace that carbon, because there is no Shini Bailim Liachar Misa, because Eina Bailim is Kaprim Liachar Misa, and the Yorish does not become a Miskapim. Rabbi Pinchas on the other hand holds that not only does Chanoch have to bring the carbon of his father, Lachar Mises of him, but moreover, he, Chanoch, becomes the Bailam Miskaprim, and therefore there's going to be a Shinui Bailim, and therefore Pinchas says that in such a case of Shinui Bailim, Chanoch is obligated to replace the carbon with a different carbon. Now here we have a footnote from the Keren Ora. This really belongs to my 1145 Shia, but I'll just tell you the Kitz and Nimrods what the Keren Ora says. The Keren Ora wants to say the machlokas between Rav and Reb Pinchas revolves around the definition of the Yarshim in Karban Avina. According to Rava, the Kapara of the Yarshim is only Mikufya. If you remember, we said Mikufya, that's kind of a superficial, technical Kapara. However, we don't consider the Yarshim, in this case Chanoch, to be the Miskaper. Reb Pinchas, on the other hand, holds that just like the father, when he brought the carbon, had he lived to do so, would get a what's called a kapar kvua, not mikufya, so too the son has, you know, he, so to speak, puts, you know, steps into the shoes of his father, and he too becomes, what's the word I want to use? He becomes a candidate for a kapara kvua, and therefore he becomes the miskaper, and the din of Shini Bailam applies. Just give me time. I tell you why, because I'm leaving at the end of this week, and if we don't accomplish what I have to, then this whole experiment, I'm afraid, is gonna fail. Yeah. Omar Rava. Ola, now this piece of Gemara that we're about to learn is a very nice piece of Gemara. I think we'll all enjoy it. It's a small piece of Gemara, 5 lines, but it's an Agadita. And there are deeper meanings to this Gemara. I wish we had time for that. I don't even know where to look for deeper meanings to an Agadita in Zvachim. But anyway, Omar Rava, Ola Doronhi. There's something very unique in the constellation of Karbonos in the case of Ola. Ola is different because Ola is mechaper on essay, on a mitzvah essay that you didn't fulfill and you were derelict. However, says Rava, this kapara power of an Ola should not be understood as primary. What do I mean by primary? Primary means, how does a person achieve, in a halachic sense, a kapara? He brings a carbon. The carbon is mechaper. Not so in the case of Ola vis-a-vis mitzvah saseh. The machaper of a carbon Ola is what? Who can guess? Tshiva. Okay, I said it like the Hungarians would say it, right? Tshuva, the way the Israelis would say it. Why? Because as opposed to any avera in the constellation of violations of criminal acts, essay has a special place. A mitzvah I say that I didn't fulfill can be rectified by tshuva. And if it can be rectified by tshuva, then the carbon really is secondary. Well, we'll have to see what's the point of the carbon. So the Gemara basically asks the following. Hechi dami, what exactly is Rava talking about? Ida leka tshuva. If he didn't do tshuva, meaning he feels perfectly comfortable with the fact that he didn't take a lulav on Sukkos or he didn't eat matzah on Pesach, is then the Gemara says he's a rasha. He's deliberately rebellious and he has no right to any sort of kapara. A rebellious person doesn't get kapara. That's based on a pasuk in Mishlei, Zevach Rishoyim Toeva. A person who brings a karban and he insists on continuing in his evil ways, then the kapara, it's a tarti disaster. The kapara is meaningless for him. And the karban cannot be a karban. So obviously, if the ola is meaningful, it must be that he did tshuva. Otherwise, ein al mal daber. The idika tshuva, but if on the other hand he did tshuva, and if it's not zevach rishoyim, and that's why the zevach can be meaningful, if that be the case, then he achieves kapara even without the ola. Disanya, we have a brisa of al mitzvah saseh v'shav. If a person did not fulfill a positive command, then he does tshuva. Lo zaz misham, he doesn't have to budge, he doesn't have to move from the spot, he doesn't have to beat his breast anymore, he doesn't have to get malchus, he doesn't have to bring a karbon. Achim mochlim lo, it's almost as if he has a claim in front of the Bezdin Shalmala in the high courts up in heaven. I'm not moving from the spot until you grant me kapara. I want to see it on, you know, written in stone. Says Rava, the whole purpose of an ola then is in question. Because again, Mimonafshach, if he didn't do tshuva, Zevach Rishayim, it's meaningless. If he did do tshuva, it's unnecessary. The answer is, Elash Mamino says, Rava, we must conclude the following, that fundamentally, the kapara for the esim is tshuva, and it must be tshuva. The karbano, lidoran huba. And now the Gemara is going to give a mashal to explain what those words, lidoran huba, mean. It's a gift to God. Tanya Nam Yochim learned this in Vice Om Reb Shimon. Chatos Lama Ba'a. So the Gemara stops him midway. So what do you mean Chatos Lama Ba'a? Lama Ba'a L'chaper. He violated a lav sheyesh bo kares. Ela, Reb Shimon meant to ask a different question. Lama Ba'a Lifnei Ola. If a person has to bring two karbanos, the Gemara later on at Daf Pei Tes is going to set up a system of priorities. Which carbon comes first? So let's say he has a chiyuv carbon chatos and a chiyuv carbon ola. Which takes precedence? Chatos. Chatos has to come first. And this brisa, the name of Shimon, is asking a kind of philosophical question. You know, where I come from, if you ask such a question, they throw you out of class. What do you mean? Why? That's the halacha. The Gemara derives from Pesukim. Ela comes along, Reb Shimon, to give us a little flavor, a little taste of why Chatas has to come before he brings the Ola, is Mashal Amai Dover Dome. He says, Lepraklit, right? Praklit is the defense attorney. So he comes, what we call a Melitz Yosher, a Sanhedrin. So he comes forward, and Nichnas, he comes in front of the king, he rebelled against the king, so now the defense attorney comes and reads a praklet. Somehow he succeeded in defending his, how do you say, his not customer, what's the word, his client, right? How did he defend his client? The answer is that his client did tshuva and poured out his heart in front of the king. And he said, I did the maximum to try to show you that I feel penitent and I regret what I did. Is then, once the praklit was successful in achieving ritzui, and now the melech is willing to say, I'm mochel, is then, nichnas doran achrov. Now, the sinner, the former sinner, will bring a gift in front of the king. And that gift in front of the king basically represents symbolically the appreciation that he has, and also the fact that he's cementing the relationship with the king. Now there's an appeasement, and he reinstitutes his friendship and his loyalty to the king. So we see clearly from Rabbi Shimon in this brisa that the reason why Ola comes after Chatos in the Seder HaKorbanos is because Chatos first has to cover his basic status as a rebellious person. He's got to wipe that off. Once he wipes that off with the kaparas chatos, now he says to the king, you know, I'm so excited about the fact that you wiped off my sin, I'm going to bring you a doron. And what's that doron? That's a carbon ola. Anyway, this was all a little bit of a digression here, an agadic gemara here about why a carbon ola, on the other hand, must be accompanied by tshuva, and at the same time, it's still a meaningful carbon, not as a carbon amachaper, but as a doron, as a gift to the king. Okay, now we go back to Pesach Shein, to carbon Pesach. We said in our Mishnah that although Shalom Lishma doesn't passel a carbon, it's only mafkia the ritzui and l'shem bayit and l'shem chovah, but in the case of Pesach and in the case of Chatos, any machshava l'shem Pesach l'shem Chatos will absolutely disqualify the carbon. So if you bring a Pesach l'shem some other carbon, the Pesach is possible. So the Gemara says Pesach minolon. How do we know that shelo l'shma apostles a carbon Pesach? Earlier in the Masechta, we learned that in the case of Chatos shelo l'shma, it apostles the carbon. And even though we have a hekesh of all karbonos together, the pasuk says, "Zos haTorah liOla leMincha leChatos liYoshem liMulu mezevach haShlamim." And you would think, therefore, that if Chatos is here and Chatos Shelo Lishma is pasul, so let's add Pesach to the equation. But the answer is Pesach doesn't appear in that pasuk. So it's not included in the hekesh to Chatos. So therefore, we have to have our own local source for Shalol Lishma in Pesach, Minolan. So the Gemara answers a pasuk in Dvarim Tezayin, it says Shomer es Chodesh Ha'aviv V'asiso Pesach Hashem Elokecha. I don't remember which day of Chol HaMoed we read this, but anyway, one of those days. And it says here V'asiso Pesach, and the words V'asiso Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha meant to derive Shiyu Kol Asiyosav L'Shem Pesach, meaning that all the avodas have to be done for the purpose of a carbon Pesach. Now, why does the Gemara think that the V'asisa Pesach is superfluous for this drasha? And the answer is because the very next pasuk says V'zavachto Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha. So Pesach is spelled out in the next pasuk. So why did the earlier pasuk have to repeat that which is unnecessary, V'asisa Pesach, to teach us the din of Lishma? Lishma is an absolute requirement in the case of Pesach. Okay, this is L'Shem Pesach. That's what we call Shinui Kodesh. Ashkechan, Shinui Kodesh, you've convinced me that we have a valid source for Shinui Kodesh in Karban Pesach. But Shinui Bailim Minolon? How do we know that there's a halach of Shinui Bailim with regard to Karban Pesach? And that means that Shinui Bailim is not just that lo olu lebayil l'shem chova, but in the case of carbon pesach, it means that the carbon is completely disqualified. It's pasul, and the Gemara answers the chsiv. It says in the very next pasul, v'amartem zevach pesachu. If you please underline, if you kindly underline the word zevach. And what do we learn from the word zevach? Now zevach means shchita. We're going to have to see about the other avodos, but anyway, in the case of shchita, it's got to be pesachu. Wait a minute. We just derived the halach of Shinui Kodesh from the previous pasuk that it says V'asiso Pesach. Why do you now need another limud to derive the same exact conclusion? And the answer is Eino Inyan L'Shinui Kodesh Tneu Shinui L'Shinui Bailim. We have a principle in the Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Bahem of an Eino Inyan, that if we can't use it for itself, we expand it to include the next stage. So we have one circle which is called Shinui Kodesh. We have a greater circle around it which is called Shinui Bailim. And if we have an extra limud to teach me Shinui Kodesh, Pasul's the Korban Pesach, and we don't need it, we're going to use it for Shinui Bailim. Now the Gemara says, Ashkechan l'mitzvah v'liakev minolon. We know now that there's a mitzvah to shech the Korban Pesach l'shmo and l'shem bailo. That's a mitzvah. But how do you know that if it was shechted shalol lishma, that it's pasul liakev minolan? So, for example, if you only had le mitzvah, I would say that he doesn't fulfill his mitzvah if it was shalol lishma. But the carbon itself still might be kosher. We have cases like shalol lishma in our Mishnah, where even though the carbon is kosher, but he cannot fulfill his mitzvah. How do we know that in this case the carbon is possible? Yaakev minolon, lishmo is absolutely indispensable, and if he shechted it for the sake of a different carbon or for the sake of a different person, it's absolutely possible. Omar Kra, the pasuk says, also in Sefer Dvarim over there in that context, it says, V'zavachto Pesach Lashem Elokecha. So we have three psukim now. We have one pasuk for which was V'asiso Pesach Asiyosav L'Shem Pesach. We have another pasuk that says V'yomartem Zevach Pesach L'Hashem to teach us Imenu Inyan Shinui Bailim. And now we have a third pasuk V'zavachto Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha that tells me that you have to bring it L'Shma. And why do you have to repeat that you have to bring it L'Shma? We already learned that from the pasuk of V'asiso Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha. The answer is to teach you that's ma'akev, that if we shechted shalol lishma, it's posel. Maskifle Rav Safa, you're using the posuk of vizavachta Pesach Lashem Elokecha to teach me shalol lishma. L'hochi yudasi, I need this posuk for something else. Hi, this posuk could be boile, I need it l'chid Rabbi Nachman for a drush of Rav Nachman. And what was the drush of Rav Nachman? The Omer Rav Nachman and Rabba Bar Avu Minayin leMosar Pesach SheKarev Shlomim. What's Mosar Pesach? Let's say, for example, they were mafrish an extra seh, an extra lamb for a Korban Pesach, and I'll give you an example. What would be a common example of an extra lamb? He was mafrish a lamb, and the lamb got lost. So now he's mafrish a replacement lamb, and then they find the first lamb. So in such a case, says Rav Nachman, I got so confused here when I said lamb. So when I meant to say Rav Nachman, that, okay, at least somebody caught the joke. So that in this case where he replaced the first lamb, and then he found the first lamb, the second lamb is completely Iberic, as we'd say in Yiddish, it's completely superfluous. So what do we do with it? That's called Mosar Pesach. It means it's a Korban Pesach that was designated as a Korban Pesach, but it cannot be used as a Korban Pesach. It's too late. Like we'll see later on, that if you wait a full year, then when the year passes, like you can use last year's Matzah Shmura next year, but you can't use last year's Korban Pesach this year. Every year requires its own new Korban Pesach. So that's also a case of Mosar Pesach if the year passed by. So what's the status of a Mosar Pesach? Do you let the Korban just die, let the lamb die? No. It's Karev Shlom. It's very interesting because when you magdish a Korban as a Korban Pesach, included in that Hakdasha, lurking in the shadows, is an inherent Hegdesh for Shlomim, that in event that this Korban cannot be brought as a Korban Pesach, it automatically becomes a Korban Shlomim. Again, when I say automatically, I'm not sure about that. You might need what's called an Akira to change the designation from that of a Pesach to that of a Shlomim. But in any event, when we're talking about Mosar Pesach, this unnecessary lamb that was designated and sanctified as a Korban Pesach, Korban Shlomim, it now has the din of shlomim. That shadow now comes out of the darkness, and it becomes a korban shlomim. Shenemar, the Torah says, and this is our pasuk that from which we wanted to derive shidui kodesh. Bezavachto pesach l'shem elokecha. Now look at the next two words. Son ubaka. This is impossible. You know, if it wasn't the Torah itself, I would put an X over one word and say that somebody made a toast fussy. Maybe the sofer was responsible. But then I can't do it in Sefer Torah. Right? Which word is absolutely inappropriate here? No. Bakar, right? Because a Korban Pesach has to be taken from tzon. You know, you want to bring a goat or a lamb, that I can accept. But you can't bring a sheep, you can't bring a cow as a Korban Pesach. So what does it mean? Apparently there's some possibility that a Pesach could be, at least not a bakar literally, but could have the same conceptual category as a bakar. V'halo ein pesach boel min akvasim min ha'izim, but it doesn't come from bakar. Mikan l'mosar pesach. This is a remez to mosar pesach, which cannot be brought as a korban pesach. She'ehei karev l'dover abo min atzon u min ha'bakar. It should be sacrificed for the sake of something that would be brought from Bakar. What could be brought from Bakar, my niyu? Now, this is really interesting. There's only one, because Michael, you were talking before about the unique status of Shlomim in the constellation of Karbonos. The most unique feature of Shlomim, I shouldn't say that, there are many unique features of a Shlomim, but one unique feature of a Shlomim is that you could bring the Karbon from both a Zohar and a Nekeva. There's no other karbon, no other category of karbonos that can be brought from both male and female animals. That's shlomim. Now, for example, ola and osham have to be min azcharim, and a chatos has to be from an akeva. Then there's something called a chatos nasi. Okay, that's a different kind of karbon chatos. That's brought min azocha, but there's no overlap of male and female. Okay. The only karma that can be brought and the candidate is either a Zohar Nekeva is Shlomim. Oh. So, since the Pasuk is referring, according to the Drosha of Rav Nachman, to Mosar HaPesach, we cannot use this Pasuk for the din of Lishma. It's not free for the din of Lishma. And now we're back to square one, because we only know that L'shem Karban, L'shem Bailim is a mitzvah, but we don't know it's Likuva. We don't have that extra pasuk to tell us that's Ma'akev. Elomar Rav Safra. Rav Safra says we have a different pasuk. V'zavachto Pesach L'chid Rav Nachman. You're right, that the pasuk of V'zavachto Pesach, which we originally maintained was teaching us Shinui Likuva, that pasuk we need to teach me Mosar Pesach like Rav Nachman Darshan's. However, let's go back to the pasuk Shomar es Chodesh Ha'aviv, and then it says V'yasisa Pesach. That pasuk is lemitzvah. Okay, now we get to Shinui Kodesh, meaning that it's going to be possible. And then we're going to invoke the pasuk V'yamartem Zevach Pesach. You remember that there were three pesukim. There was V'yasisa Pesach, then there was V'yamartem Zevach Pesach, and then it was Vizavachta Pesach. The pasuk is Vizavachta Pesach we need now, Rav Nachman, for Shlomim in the case of Mosara Pesach. But the other two pesukim, we're going to use one pasuk for mitzvah, meaning that in order to be Yotze Yochiv, you have to have a Kavon L'Shem mitzvah. How do we know that by the evidence pasuk? The answer is we have the second pasuk, and that's V'yamartem Zevach Pesach. However, we're in trouble now because we needed a third pasuk for the case of Shini Bailin. So the Gemara answers, "B'shinei bailin lemitzvah from vehu." Okay, there's an extra word in the pasuk that says "who." Okay, now which pasuk it is? Just give me a second here. V'matim zevach pesach who? Right, there's an extra word "who," and "who" tells me that it's for his sake and not for someone else's sake. And liakev, but what? How do we know it's liakev? So we now have derived the pasuk of lemitzvah, but we don't know that it's likuva. Vein hachla hacha is whether or not you're talking about shini kodesh or shini bailim. We always assume that it's pasul likuva. In other words, at this point, the Gemara is postulating that once you derive the shinui bailim lemitzvah, and we know that Shini Kodesh, which is your paradigm Shinui, is Likuva, because we had two Psukim, then we assume that Shini Bailim, like Shinui Kodesh, is also Likuva. Now this is very strange, because the Gemara actually was looking for another Pasuk to teach you that Shini Bailim is Likuva. We only had the word Vahu to teach me that Shini Kodesh is Likuva. No, I'm sorry. We had the extra word vahu to teach me shini bailim lemitzvah, but we never had an extra pasuk to teach you that shini bailim is liikuva. So what does the Gemara mean bein hacha, that once we've proven that shini kodesh is liikuva, therefore ipso facto shini bailim is liikuva, we were looking for a pasuk for shini bailim liikuva. In any event, I can't answer that question, but I'm in very good company here, because based on this question, Tosfos wants to change the whole girsa of the Gemara. We're going to learn the Gemara the way Rashi's girsa is, but we're going to leave this with a question. But again, Rabbo said, what's common to all the psukim that taught us Shini Kodesh and Shini Bailim? They all mention the word Zevach, and the word Zevach is a reference to Shechita. So how do you know, the Gemara says, Ashkechan Zvicha, Shara Avodos Minolan, how do you know that Shinui is posel in all the other Avodos? And again, I have to admit, I don't understand this Gemara. The Gemara's answer is very strange. Hoel v'goli, goli. That once the Torah says, V'yamartem Zevach Pesachu, which teaches me Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim in the case of Shechita, I derive all the other Avodos from an equation to Shechita. So in the footnote here of the Masifta, it's number Lamed Aleph, if anybody has that, he says the following. The Gemara was asking on Shinui Kodesh, Minayin Shehu Ma'akev Bechol HaVodos. So what was the Gemara's answer? So the Gemara's answer was, Ho V'Goli Goli. He says, Li'el, back on Daf Dalid, the Gemara says that you cannot derive the other avodas from Shechita. The Gemara spends a whole sugya on Daf Dalet, if you recall, trying to establish Shechita and Zvicha, and then Kabbalah, and then Halacha. You remember the whole long sugya there. So what are we left with over here? We were left with Shechita, and now you tell me a whole V'goli Goli. Why is that so? And apparently, again, we're going to have to apply the same logic that we applied just a minute ago, which again, I don't claim I understand that logic, that once in Shini Kodesh, we've derived an equation of all the Avodas to Shechita, that just like in Shini Kodesh, in Zvicha, the Shini Kodesh, and all the other Avodos, then when we jump to the case of Shinui Bailim, we're going to assume that since we already have a pasuk for Shinui Bailim, at least as a mitzvah, and that's Likuva because of the Svara that the Gemara offers bein hacha bein hacha, and we know that that applies to shechita. So just like in shinui bailim, just like in shinui kodesh, which is likuva in the case of Pesach and Chatos, in all four avodos, and we had psukim and drushes for all four avodos, so too in shinui bailim, which is likuva in Shechita, clearly because of the svara of Bein Hacha, Bein Hacha, then we're going to apply the rule of once you're equating Shinui Bailim with Shinui Kodesh, you're going to make the equation all the way. And you're going to say that all four Avodos lend themselves to the psul of Shinui Bailim. Okay, now we have Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says that the source for Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim in Pesach has to be another source. Rav Ashi Omer, he's on our team. Hoil v'goli goli lo amrina. You can't tell me that since the Torah has revealed to us that Zvicha Shalol Lishma is going to passel the Karbon, therefore we assume it applies to all four avodos. There's no such thing as Hoil v'goli goli. Again, Hoil v'goli goli, Rabosai, would be, you remember we used to make those tables. In Hebrew it's called the tavla. So what you have is the following. You have on one side of the table Shinui Kodesh, and then underneath it you have Shinui Bailim. Now we start filling in the blanks. And we say the following. In the case of Shechita, Shinui Bailim, like Shinui Kodesh, is possible. And that, for that we have Psukim. Now we get to the other Avodos. That's your next column. So in the case of Shinui Kodesh, we know from the four psukim that all avodos are possible in Shinui Kodesh. Now we have that last empty box. What's going to be the deal in Shinui Bailim and the other avodos except for Shechita, in addition to Shechita? So for that we have a principle called Hol V'Goli Goli. So Rav Ashi rejects that principle. Every box has to be filled in on its own. Ella avodos minolan. How do we know the other three avodos that Shinui Kodesh, Shinui Bailim, passels the Karbon in the case of Pesach? Tiksiv, the Torah says, remember this pasuk that I mentioned earlier, we've seen it over and over again. This is in Perek Zayin of Vayikra Zos, Torah Sa'ola. La'ola v'la mincha l'chatas li'oshim l'miluim l'zevach ha'shlomim. And then at the end of this pasuk, it says, Karbonechem. Where it says, Biyom tzavoso es b'nei Yisrael lahakriv es karbonechem. That's the very next pasuk. Now, why would the Torah have to add karbonechem when we just had in the previous pasuk an entire list enumerating all the categories of karbonos, all the different karbonos? So what did you add karbonechem? And the Brisa says, ze bechar umaser upesach. That included in the Hekesh of Zos Toras are these three karbonos, which are not singled out. Again, even though all these three karbonos really belong in a broader sense to Shlomim, and Shlomim is mentioned, but nevertheless they're not exactly a karbon Shlomim. And I think we've discussed this in the past, that if you had, for example, in mind at the time of the Shkitas HaShlomim, Bechar or Meiser or Pesach, it's going to passel the karbon. So now the Torah had to add karbonechem to indicate these three karbonos. For some reason, these three karbonos have it's kind of like the Three Stooges, if they still, I don't know if they, no, I'm really dating myself, probably you never heard of that. Or what else, the Three Musketeers. Oh, that would be good. The Three Musketeers, right? That's more sophisticated. She hikisha na kasuv lishlomim. Ma shlomim bein shini kodesh bein shini bailim be'ina l'mitzvah. Just like in the case of shlomim, as far as mitzvah is concerned, you have to be makriv the karbon for the sake of shlomim. Af kol, all the other karbonos, including Pesach on the list, because of karbonechem, is bein shini kodesh, is af kol. All the other karbonos is bein shini kodesh, bein shini bailim lemitzvah. That you have to have a mitzvah, and again, that mitzvah means if you didn't have the right kodesh or the right bailim, then you didn't fulfill your obligation. And now we have extra psukim. We had v'yosisa pesach, we have amarta zevach pesach, and those were teaching us shini kodesh. Why do we need those psukim? Now we have this hekesh. So the answer is that these extra psukim are going to teach us likuva, and they're going to teach us all the other avodos. Ukishlamim. And now let's go back to the hekesh between Pesach and Shlamim. Mashlamim bein zvicha bein sharavodos lo chilakta ben lemitzvah af Pesach lo tachlok bo bein zvicha l'sharavodos l'ikuva. Now that we said that lishma in Pesach is likuva based on the pasuk v'asisa Pesach and the second extra pasuk v'amarta zev of Pesach, the Torah repeats it to tell you it's likuva. Now, if you want to know that whether these dinim of Shini Kodesh and Shini Bailam Oli Kuva in all four avodas, now I'm going to go back to the drawing board, to my original Hekesh to Shlomim, because the Pasuk has both Shlomim and Pesach in it, and I'm going to make the following comment, that Ma Shlomim Bein Zvicha Bein Sharavodos Lo Chilatim Bein Mitzvah Af Pesach Lo Tachlok Bo Bein Zvicha Le Sharavodos Le Ikuva Nu Elahu Lomali. I mean, we needed the word "who" in the pasuk v'amartim zev Pesach to derive that shalol lishma is ma'akiv in Pesach. Now you're deriving it from this hekesh of zosat Torah. So the word "who" now becomes extra. So my answer is, I don't need Pesach. Excuse me, I don't need the word "who" in Pesach to pasul shini kodesh shini bailim, but rather it's coming to teach me that only Pesach. The word "who" is a mute. Only Pesach is pasul shalol lishma. But let's say, for example, a carbon asham that was shechted shalol lishma is kosher, even though it's not ol l'shem bailim. That's going to be derived from who? Kedisanya, like we learned in the brisa. Nemar bePesach who b'shchit oli akev. Just like the word who, within its context, where it's written in the parasha of Korban Pesach, means that it's li'ikuva. That means shini kodesh or shini bailim pasul a carbon Pesach. Avol Asham, who is coming to exclude Asham, lo nemarbo, who? We don't find the word who in the parasha of Asham. That's not true, by the way. We do find the word who in the parasha of Asham, as we'll soon see. But the who in the parasha of Pesach is coming to tell you that shalol lishma does not pasul in Asham. Who velo Asham? Pesach velo Asham. We do find the word who in the parasha of Asham. That pasuk who appears after Haktaras Imurim. In the Seder Apsukim, the Torah tells you to bring the Asham and be matir the Imurim on the Mizbeach. So that part of the Asham that's not eaten by the Kohanim has to be burnt on the Mizbeach. That's called Haktaras Imurim. And there the Torah does say the word who. But the who atzmo shalok tiru emurav kosher. It can't be that the word who is coming to tell you that shalol lishma apostles the carbon, because since the word who is written in Asham after Aktaras Imurim, what happens if they weren't Maktir Imurim? The law is that after the Zrika is completed, the fourth avoda, the carbon is kosher, completely kosher. There's a separate mitzvah of Aktaras Imurim, but that's not indispensable in terms of the carbon. The lack, the absence of Aktaras Imurim would never undermine the carbon. So you can't tell me that the word who means that it's possible. Because we're shalol lishma, because we're referring to what? Haktaras Imurim. Now, the logic of the Gemara is that if you have a certain kind of avoda, I mean, I'm hard pressed to call Haktaras Imurim avoda, we'll call it a quasi avoda, an auxiliary avoda. If that avoda is not likuva, it's dispensable, so to speak, in terms of the Hekshar Karbon, then it cannot be that a machshava shalol lishma during that particular activity, that particular Haktaras Imurim, would pasul the karbon. Chatos minolon. And this was something that the Gemara touched on earlier, but now the Gemara takes it on head on. How do we know that a chata shalol lishma is pasul? And the Gemara answers, the pasuk in chata says, this vayikra dal, it says, "Ditziv v'shachar osa lechatos." What does lechatos mean? Lechatos. It must be lechatos. But again, the pasuk is talking about shchita. How do we know that there's a din of lishma likuva even in kabbalas hadam? And the Gemara says dichsiv, and here we're on daf ches amid aleph v'lokach hakohen midam hachatos. The pasuk says v'lokach. The word v'lokach refers to Kabbalah Saddam. Shetei Lekicha, Shetei Kabbalah, L'shem Chatos. The Gemara says, Ashkechan Shechita Mekabbalah, Zrika Minolin. How do you know the Zrika has to be L'shem Chatos? And if he had a Shini Kodesh in Zrika, it would pass the Korb. The Omakra, V'chiper Olav HaKohen Mechatoso. Shetei HaKapara, L'shem Chatos.
Didn't we do this already?
Yeah, this is a repeat. I don't remember exactly where it is. Maybe on Daf Gimel, Daf Dalet.
So why is it again?
Because the Gemara is going to extend it even further to Shini Bailam. And until now, the Gemara only discussed Shini Kodesh in the case of Chatos. So the Gemara is reviewing Shini Kodesh in order to create a parallel between Shini Bailam and Shini Kodesh. Okay, so now we know Shinui Kodesh passels both in Shechita, in Kabbal Saddam, and also in what? In Zrika. That only covers us as far as what? Shinui Kodesh is concerned. Ashkechan Shinui Kodesh, Shinui Bailim Minolon. What about a case where he brings the Chatos on behalf of someone else? And Rabbi said, just to review and remind us, and I'm talking to myself here, what we mean by Shini Bailam in Chatos means for the sake of someone else who's Chayav a Chatos, that the Kapara of the Chatos should be not for Reuven, but for Shimon, who desperately needs the Kapara of a Chatos. That's going to have to be Dumya Lidi Day, if you remember. But if he has in mind L'shem Shimon, who's not Chayav HaChatos, or he's Chayav Ola, that would not be a psul of Shini Bailim. That has nothing to do with what we're learning now, but just to review, it gives me a sense of sanity that I still remember something from all the Gemaras that we covered. Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'chiper Olav HaKoyim Michatoso, and this Pasuk tells you, Olav V'lo Al Chaveiro, that you have to have a machshava in Chatos, because this pasuk is in the parish of Chatos. It says Mechatoso, Olav, for the person who's miskaper, the bala korba, Ashkechan lemitzvah liakev minolan. Okay, you have a mitzvah lechatchila to have in mind the right person. Okay, that's Shini Bailim is a problem, but it's only a problem of mitzvah. But how do you know likuva? Kida Omar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. And now we have to jump over to a different parasha of Chatos. There are two different parashas of Chatos, because next to the parasha of Chatos, there's also Chatos Nazir. And Chatos Chatoso, since we have an extra vav of Chatoso, is Hochinami, Chatos Chatoso, the extra vav is going to teach me Shini Bailim Li'ikuva. Ashkechan mitzvah b'shinui kodesh. We found already that there's a mitzvah of having in mind the right karbon in the case of chatos, and that means that all the avodos of the chatos have to be performed l'shem chatos. Uzrika b'shinui bailim. We now have the pasuk of v'chiper olav for shinui bailim in the case of a chatos, but that's only referring to what? To Shechita, and we said that is Likuva because of the extra Vav of Chatoso is Bein Lemitzvah Bein Liakev, but Liakev b'chol avodos b'shinui kodesh b'shara avodos b'shinui. I'm sorry, I read that too fast. He says the following: Liakev b'chol avodos b'shinui kodesh. Right? How do we know that Shini Kodesh is ma'akev in all the other avodos, not just in Shechita? U'bishar avodos b'shinui bailim. In other words, we've already established in Zrika that there's a psul in Chatos if the dam was thrown for the sake of the wrong miskaper. But how do we know Shechita, Kabbalah Saddam, and Halacha Saddam in Shini Bailim? Beim mitzvah, beim likuva minolan, or Rav Yona, Asya bichatas nazir. Here's where the extra parasha of Chatos is going to be critical. The Sivba, now in Parshas Noso, it says, V'hikriv ha-kohen lifnei Hashem. The asa es chatoso, the es olaso. A nazir, when he terminates his nazir, he has to bring two korbanos, a chatos and an ola. And why did the Torah have to go out of its way to say the asisa es chatoso, the asa es chatoso? Shehei kol asiosov l'shem chatos. And Gemara thinks that we can derive from this that all avodos, because it says kol asiyoso, right? It says viyasa in a general sense. It doesn't single out shchita, or it doesn't single out zrika. All the avodos have to be done l'shem chatos. Is ashkechan shinui kodesh? Okay, fine. It has to be done with shem kodesh. But shini bailim mi nolon. How do we know that shini bailim is ma'akev and apostles the chatos in all the other avodos other than zrika? Amrav Huna. We go back to the pasuk of nazir, chatos nazir, and it says v'asa es chatoso. We could have said v'asa es chatos. The extra vav of chatoso is to teach me shini bailim in all the other avodos, in addition to Zerika. Okay, I'll just add one line here, and then we'll call it a day. Maskifla Ravina. Ravina is not happy with Rav Huna. Ela Me'ato. If you're telling me that the vav, the extra vav of Chatoso, is coming for a drasha, is olas olasa. What's the extra vav in Ola my darshi? But you have to have some derivation. So the Gemara says, Ula Ravina, and Ravina, you're a smart guy, right? So you asked the kasha on Rav Huna, well, what is Rav Huna going to do with the extra vav in Olasa? Now, let's go back to the parash of Nazir. In the parash of Nazir, it says, V'yosa koin es minchoso v'es nisko. In other words, if Ravina is objecting to a drasha of the vav because he doesn't know what to do with Olasa, he should have asked a more broad scope than a broader kasha on Rav Huna. He should have asked him from Minchaso or Nisko. It could have said Minchas. Why does it say Minchaso? So again, we're going back to the parsha of Nazir, and in the parsha of Nazir, not only does the Nazir have to bring a Chatos and an Ola, but he also has to bring a Karma Mincha, and a Karma Mincha needs Nisachim. But why the extra vav of Minchaso and why the extra vav of Nisko, my darshi bahu? And the Gemara answers, Ahumi, boy, Ravina had no problem with the extra vav in Minchaso because he needs it for a drasha. This is a sugya later on, and that pay dalid, Minchasam v'niskehem. Okay, now we're fast forwarding from Pesach to Sukkot. In Sukkot, there's something called Pareachag, and the unique aspect of Pareachag is that they can be brought even Belila. Okay, we have to, that's going to be tomorrow's discussion, B'li Neder, why Pareachag are craving even Belila. And then the drush of Minchasov and his KM tells you Afilu Lamachar, meaning the day after that Krovas HaKarmon. And that halacha, which applies uniquely to Pareachag on Sukkot, which we would think has no application to what? To any other carbon, that it could be brought at night, and then the mincha and the nesachim are brought the following morning. Now we're going to say that it also applies to a minchas nazir. A nazir, as we said before, in addition to his chatas, and only has to bring a mincha, and every mincha has to be accompanied by nesachim. And the mincha and the nesachim of a nazir can be brought at night.
What does mincha tzam in this game show you that it has to be the next day?
Say it again.
How do the words minchatam
teach you even at night? Yeah. Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure that will pick up in Mirza Shem tomorrow. I just want to finish one more line. Ella olas olasa my darshvi. So I know that the extra vav of minchaso in nisko is coming to tell you that Limachras, the Nazir, after he brought his carbon at night, he will bring his mincha and his nesachim the very next morning. And that we derive from the extra vav of minchaso, the extra vav of nisko, which equates minchas nazir with pareachag. But that's fine, says Ravina. There, I've covered my bases as far as the extra vav. Ela olas olas o my darshi. But what is Rav Huna going to do with the extra vav? Okay, then. So we'll stop here. So we're on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, and my goal in Mirtz Hashem would be to get to Daf Tes Omid Beis, if possible, or at least to the bottom of Daf Tes Omid Aleph, and that'll bridge me for the week to the Shir on Daf Tes Omid Beis that you'll see dated.